Good morning. I have a reason, one more reason that why we're enjoying the worship meeting this morning, remembrance. I add to what Brother Dave said. It's not only maybe the Lord is close to come, but the Holy Spirit is working. And if we worship in spirit and truth, that's what we get, in spirit and truth, because the Father seeking such worshiper in truth and spirit. And the proof for spirit I have, brother came to me when I asked for a song, a hymn this morning, and said, oh, I had it. I was ready to call for it. And Brother Ross had a reading this morning, which is the subject of my message this morning. So how wonderful to see that the Holy Spirit bringing everything together for us. Last time, or once, I can't remember, a couple of months ago, I spoke about faith, the saving faith, and the faith that we can walk by, walking faith. And we talk about the faith that has nothing to do with us, like this gift of God that he brought us to him. And also, he expects us to walk after receiving the grace and redemption that we walk by faith. Today, I have in my heart to talk about another word called to be faithful. Faithfulness. And I'm speaking to myself before anybody else. Faithfulness, to be faithful, a subject you can hear it everywhere. Is he faithful to his wife? Is she faithful to him, to her husband? And we read all these things about unfaithfulness, but it's not the subject we are talking about because it is not worth it to speak about ourselves in the Lord's day. We have to speak about him, and he is the faithful one. And there is a church in Revelation that Holy Spirit talk about in chapter 2, which it will be our reading this morning. And he required from this church that the people there, they stay faithful. Chapter 2 of Revelation, starting from verse 8, and unto the angel of the church in Smyrna, write, these things said the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works, tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Verse 10, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be heard of the second death. Be thou faithful unto death. This church, really, it is the church that has all the commendation from the Lord. There is no blame in this church. You can read for other churches, there is something the Lord talking about them. You are short in this. You are not doing this right. You think highly about yourself. But here, he had a very positive things about this church. And when he said, who said this? Said the first and the last. This means I said it. I am the first. So everybody should believe it. When the Lord says something, we should listen and we should believe it. Should believe it. And his words are true. The first, the one has no beginning, the preeminent. And we'll talk about this, about him later today. The last. When say the last means nobody can add. That's the one who redeemed us. That's the one we worship this morning. This is the one we remember. The first and the last. And that's what we care about. It is not what people say about us. It's not how we look to the society, to the community. No, we need the testimony from him. Is he pleased with us? Is he saying something about us that make us happy and joyful in him? We can see that even when everything around the Lord Jesus was against him, we find most of the time a voice coming from heaven, this is my beloved son, whom I am well pleased. I remind you with something which is very sad, that we don't make him all in all when we come to him. It is a bad experience, but I couldn't help it because I was a visitor in Canada last Sunday. And it's supposed to be the experience we have here that it is so precious. And I'm telling this all the time for the people that they are visiting, or the people they don't know how precious is our gathering around the Lord in this manner, in simplicity, having the Holy Spirit in the midst. The Lord Jesus is the head of the body, and he is the object of our meeting. If you don't value this, you need to discern what is going on outside. And last Sunday was Remembrance Day in Canada, like our Memorial Day here. And I was saddened, very saddened. When I walked in a church, I went with some friends. And it is a church that I felt like it is dear to my heart because it is a church I've grown up in it in Egypt. And I find a dear pastor. I know his father. He visited as a missionary in Egypt and was leading. But here, there, he said, we have double or twice the memorial. Today we're going to remember the Lord and remember those who fought for our land. Is this what we do when we gather around the Lord, that we have somebody next to him? Shouldn't be nothing beside him when we come to him. He is all in all. Isn't that sad that people spend the time worshiping, thinking that this is their program? And to come to tell the Holy Spirit, that's what we need to do today. And instead of coming to tell the Holy Spirit what you want us to say and to do, to praise the Son of God. It is the other way around. How sad that we see that people are rejoicing and happy in a way that doesn't honor the Lord Jesus. And this reminded me, with the mountain of transfiguration. Why people, they don't read that Jesus is the only one needs to be there and preeminent. He's the first and he's the last. Nobody beside him. And here it is, Jesus loved the disciples, Peter and John. John was close to his, Peter was very fanatic about the Lord. And he said, you saw me in my weaknesses. You saw me how I accept the insult. You saw me how people attack me. You saw my humbleness and humility. But listen, I want to show you some of my glory. To see that I am the first and the last. Let me take you up to the mountain. And there he changed and became glorified. His face became like the sun. Couldn't see from the light. And almost they went to sleep. I don't know how they went to sleep in such view, beautiful, but that's the flesh, okay? You have to recognize that the flesh always there, even in the greatest revival and the best meeting, always the flesh likes to stand and take place. So they wake up, and do you know, the flesh wanted to do something. So they said, let's to make 3 tabernacles. Let's cover you from the sun. They are caring about the Lord from the sun. And let's cover 3 of you. And as they said that, they heard a voice that this is my beloved son. Again, as we heard it this morning in the worship meeting. And then Moses and Elijah. They left. They left. He tried to say, I am the first and the last. I am the beginning and the last. I can get you, Moses. I can get you, Elijah. See that I am the God in flesh. But they didn't consider him the only one. They want to put him in equal with Moses. And that Jesus and the Father didn't accept this. And they disappear, and they have seen no one but Jesus. And that's what we have to learn when we come to his presence. Nobody, not me, not you, not my gift, not my skill, not my eloquency, nothing but him and him alone. And do you know something? Nothing will please the Father. When we glorify the Son and worship the Son, except God himself, which is the Holy Spirit. So that's the true worship. We go back to our subject, and we talk about that Jesus spoke this word, and he say, I know thy works and tribulation and poverty. And I want, it is limited time, but I'm going to talk about poverty. And then he said, but you are rich. And this is Rick, his favorite verse, when he said, the one who was rich became poor, that we might be rich with his poverty, by his poverty. And this will tell us about also, if we have some study in the Bible, grounded in the Word of God, to have some discernment. Discernment. The gospel of prosperity and wealth and health, it is contradicted here. Because while they are poor, real poor, it is not poor in spirit, no, they are real poor and in tribulation and troubles, simple people struggling, but say, still, to me, you are rich. You are rich in spirit. You are rich in gifts. You are rich in love. You are rich in serving the Lord. And that's the real testimony. You are poor, but you are rich. Everything we can see outside doesn't fit in the Word of God, and sometimes we get deceived. But we wouldn't resist the false teaching unless we know and we read and we study the Word of God. The Word of God, you are not going to learn it from people who listen to them only. We have to examine things. And that's why there is blinds leading blinds. And then they face something else, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Now they're facing another group. And I'll call this group the religion, the religious group, the people holding the religion. But in the sight of God, it is synagogue of Satan. You have to have one only to follow. And I'll take you back in brief about this religion of Satan. When did it start, this religion? It started in the beginning when Abel offered bitter offering to the Lord, and Cain, his offer refused. Cain is the father of religion. And you tell me, what is the religion? I tell you, the thing that you like to offer to God, not what God wants you to offer to him. There's a big difference when what I want to offer to God for myself, the way I see it, and what God wants me according to his word, according to his will, what he wants me to offer. What he wants us to offer is praise and thanksgiving to the Son. To recognize that he is the Savior. When Abel came, we didn't hear that he came up with his own teaching. He listened to Adam. He said, Adam told him, listen, from the beginning, we were sinners. We disobeyed God. And he killed the lamb. He covered us with the skin. And we know that when we approach him, we approach him with the lamb that will cover our sin and forgive us. You don't discuss this. Abel was obedient, and he followed the instruction of his father, Adam. Now let's look for Cain. Cain worked the land, the ground. He got very good results and produce and fruits and stuff. It is his efforts. And brought his efforts, put it in the altar, and say, "Heal, Lord, take with all pride, this is for you." Nothing good in us we can offer to God. And that's religion. And around us, there is many religion. It is not the Jews' religion here, but there is Christianity around us. You call it religion. It has nothing to do with the one who gave us his life. Religion around us, cult. There's people, they call it Christianity, but then they deny the sonship, the eternal sonship of our Lord Jesus. There is religion around us denying that we will be in heaven forever with the Lord. There's many religion around us. where do we stand? Can we stand firm like the Church of Smyrna? If we do this, there is a request for us, individual and church, and I'm going to move fast because I have some other things that I want to talk about. Be faithful. Be thou faithful unto death. This is hard to say. Be thou faithful unto death. Faithful to him. Faithful to the word of God. Unto death. Is death of persecution or death of our departure of this world? Could be both. This means if you, as they have the tribulation here in 10 days, and 10 days speaks of limited time, just limited time. They were persecuted and they have tribulation for limited. Even if we have limited time of persecution here, are we faithful till death? Going to be faithful till the end? That's what he asked us to do. And I will get your attention for, since we are approaching Thanksgiving, I'm going to speak about two areas we can be faithful in. Only two for the shortage of time. The first one, in Thanksgiving. And second one, we talked about it, it is by giving him, Jesus only, the preeminence. And I pray that this will hit me before it hits you. Let's read from the epistle Paul to Colossians. The epistle to Colossians. Colossians and chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light. Let's be faithful in giving thanks to the Father. We can do it in a corporate way, which we did this morning. But we do it with joy. It's not a burden. With love. It is not out of habit. It is not because we have to come. No, because we love to do it. Because he in the midst. So giving thanks to the Father. And what the Father did to us. Did two things. First, he has made us meet to be partaker of the inheritance. We became people to fit. That's what meet. To fit. To be qualified for the inheritance of the saints in the light. What the other thing? Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. So it is not only, actually I can say, because I can take the second verse and take it first, because we have been delivered, we have inheritance. So these are two things that we have taken from the Father. He prepared this for us. We have inheritance, because we are in the light. And then we have, he has translated us from darkness to the light. And that's all by offering his only begotten Son. I think we had a verse say that we've been transferred because of faith. It was the faith that brought me to the light. It is by faith. In Him, we came from darkness. Darkness means that we don't know anything about God. We are in the dark about God, about His character, about His love. Be faithful. Being faithful in thanksgiving, that's because you came into the light and you see God as He is, because He is the light. He lives in light. He all light. So when we translate it from darkness to light, we can see God as He is. Is God faithful? Yes. I will remind you with the character of God called divine attribute, God's character, as nobody can touch it. But when Jesus came on earth, we saw this divine character as a moral character He lived by as a man. And He made it possible for you and me to live this moral character and to be faithful. God is faithful. He said, if we confess our sins, He is faithful. And He faithful that He called us. If you go about, He is faithful, all the verses in the Bible telling us how God is faithful. And when we move to the light, He wants us to be like Him, faithful. I encourage all of us that we be faithful every day in giving thanks to the Father. Just remind yourself in the morning. Look around you. Is there anything we have that doesn't come from Him? It's just giving thanks to the Father every day, every moment of our lives. It will help us to be faithful to Him. One more thing, which let's read and see why we want to give Him, to be faithful in giving Him Christ, the preeminence. In whom we have redemption, that's Christ, through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin, who is the image of invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven and in that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All, and this is the verse, all things were created by Him and for Him. When we read in the beginning, God created, God is plural in Old Testament, Elohim. But in the New Testament, every time we find who created, created Christ, the Lord Jesus created. In Him, everything being created. So He's the one have the creation. He is the, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things. We said He's the beginning. And by Him, all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that all things He might, in all things He might have the preeminence. In all things. And I want to see that why He is the head of the church. He is the head of the creation because He created it. And He is the head of the church because by His death, He created it. We were not to be existed without His cross, without His redemption. So He created us, and He is the head of the church. that in all things he might have the preeminence. And the question to all of us, to me and to you, is he really preeminent in our lives? First, is he had the first place in our life? If we wake up in the morning, whom we are thinking of? What is the top of the list in our schedule for today, for the day? Who takes more of my time? Him or my business? Yeah, we have to work. But I'm talking about occupying. Occupy your thoughts. Occupy your heart. Is he taken over? Is he having the first place? Or second? Could be third. Could be fourth. Could be in the bottom of the list. He doesn't accept. Remember, as I said, in our gathering, he doesn't accept second place or third place or fourth. He doesn't accept more than less than first place in your life, my life and your life. It is so sad that our business taken over, our cars taken over, our possessions taken over, our study taken over. And he is taking a step back. We don't want him to be present in our life. As somebody said, we want him to be the president of our life. Can we be faithful to him by giving him the rightful place in our life? That's what he is. That's what he is. He's been given preeminent place. Can we do this? Can we wake up in the morning and say, Lord, I like you to take over today. I like to be the first and the last of my day, and all between doesn't matter. Because do you know something? We are the winners if we make him preeminent. Between, we are winners. If I give him to lead the ship or to pilot the plane, I am safe. I am not depending on myself anymore. So in the spirit of thanksgiving, we would like to be faithful in giving him thanks and be faithful in giving him the preeminence in our lives. And maybe we'll hear at the end, bless you, a faithful servant. At the end, he loves to give us this word that we are faithful to him. Be faithful unto death. And that's what he expected from the one he paid the price for, the one who died for. May the Lord encourage our hearts for these thoughts, simple thoughts. It is from the word of God that we might please him and the Father, and we live led by the Holy Spirit for his glory and his glory only. Let's pray. Blessed God, our Father, how thankful we are for our beloved Savior, the Lord Jesus, your beloved Son, the one who made it possible to be here and to have the privilege of remembering him, the one who translated us from the darkness to the light, the one who blessed us with all the blessings in heavenly. We give thanks for him. Help us to be faithful to him, the one who set aside his life for us, separated himself that he might save us, the one who sanctified himself for the church. Help us to be faithful to him in our lives. Give him the preeminence in every part of our lives. We thank you that you blessed us in this assembly. Help us to be faithful as corporate, as body, as individual, and as families. We pray for the activity of this week, the speaker of this evening, and for everything we do in evangelism or in teaching, on a prayer, to the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. In his matchless name we pray. Amen.